your victories. Yet the freedom that we taste and the truth that we embrace needs to reach the world until Jesus saves. Go now and tell all the nations, proclaiming out his word. There's an open door.
I'm going to have to talk fast. I have like 20 minutes, so we're going to have to move rapidly. I do want to say on behalf of Pastor's family, thank you very much for your prayers, your concern. And again, we do not believe that there are any accidents. Somebody say amen. Amen. There are no coincidences. We talked a lot about this past week, and we know that we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Somebody say amen. And God is always working behind the scenes. A lot of times we don't understand. Matter of fact, most of the time we don't understand what God is doing. But thank you for your prayers, especially for his wife and for his children during this time. And again, just a little disclaimer real quickly. Give them as much space as possible when you pastor a church this large. And my brother just had an uncanny way of making everybody feel like they were special. Somebody say amen. Yeah. He just did. He just had a way of making all of us feel like we were number one on the list. Amen. And his list was real long. So that makes all of us feel like, well, you know, me and Pastor, we got something special going. Well, can I just tell you, everybody in the church feels that way. And right now the hospital's ready to close down and move to another city because we're bombarding the place. And you just got to give them a little bit of space. And we do thank you for your prayers, and we are very grateful for that. If you'll stand real quickly, and if you want to hear this whole message, I guess you'll have to come back tonight. We're going to have part two tonight because we do have to race out of here and go to Maywood, Monterey Park, Huntington Park, or wherever we're going. Hopefully my son John knows where we're going. If not, I'll be preaching on a street corner somewhere. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verses 5 through 10. I guess if I was going to give the message a title, I'm not real big on titles. I would entitle it, Don't Let the Dream Die. Don't let the dream die. Acts chapter 16, verse number 5. And so were the churches established in the faith, increased in number daily. The Apostle Paul's traveling. He's going to different churches that have been started. He's helping them to be established. There's a lot of conversion growth, and God's doing just some wonderful things. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, we've got a closed door here. By the way, God closes doors that no man can open. God opens doors that no man can close. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, as Americans, a lot of times we try to push the door open. Amen? That's just the way we are. That's how I am. By the way, that's why Laos is good for me. Because Laos, it's just totally different there. And my wife kept telling me while we were on deputation, Johnny, what in the world are you going to do in Laos? And it's good for me. It's not good for my nerves, but it's good for me. Amen? But we don't want to open doors that God has shut. And we, by the way, we don't want to try to shut doors that God's opening. After they were come, excuse me, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia and essayed or endeavored or determined to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them or allowed them not. Again, here's another closed door. The Apostle Paul is walking with God. He's working for God, and God is closing various doors here. By the way, when God closes one door, he always opens up another. Somebody say amen. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now, verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And I wish I could say a lot about that. By the way, right now, a lot of us are going through a nighttime experience. But you know, God speaks real well in the nighttime. The vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. The word prayed simply means asked, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, I want you to notice verse number 10. And after he is Paul. If you write in your Bible, you might circle it and just write Paul. After he had seen the vision. So one man sees a vision. Okay? Keep that in mind. After he had seen the vision, immediately, no debate, no arguing. A lot of times we argue with God. Amen? Immediately, now notice the he becomes a we. Very important. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. By the way, this is when Luke joins the team. Luke is the author of the book of Acts, of course. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto him. Father, help us in the few moments we have. We have time constraints, but you are beyond time. I pray that you would do what we cannot do. This morning, this evening, today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Today, Lord, is Missions Commitment Sunday. Today, our pastor lies in the hospital bed in a coma. None of these things are accidents or coincidences. We believe in a sovereign God who has control over all things. And we believe that all things work together for good to those who love God. And we love you this morning. We don't love you the way we ought to, but we sure do love you this morning. And we've been called according to your purpose. And we've been called and gathered together in this place this morning. There will never be another day that this same exact crowd will be in this place. No accidents. We pray that you would have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, no doubt the greatest missionary of all time, he's traveling. They are going from church to church. They're establishing the churches. They're working with the churches. And we don't have a lot of time to talk about that. The Apostle Paul had this great desire to go east. And a lot of times our sincere desires and even spiritual desires are not necessarily lined up with God's desire. So the Apostle Paul had this desire to go east, but God, in his sovereignty, he changed Paul's direction, and he closed the door, and he closed the door a second time. So the Apostle Paul goes from east, and he starts heading west. And as he starts heading west, we don't have time to go into this. We may talk a little bit about it tonight, but he opens, the door is open in Macedonia, specifically in the city of Philippi, which is later on in the chapter. And he finds a woman standing by the river, and she's worshiping God, but she doesn't know the God that she's worshiping. But it all starts here in this passage. Paul, at nighttime, we don't know what, the Bible doesn't, it's not clear. We don't know if he's laying down. We don't know if he's sleeping. We don't know if he's praying. We don't know exactly what's going on. But during the nighttime, Paul sees a vision. He sees a vision of a man in Macedonia. Macedonia would what we'd be called, what we would call Greece today. And in Macedonia, he sees this vision. And in the vision, if you've got your Bible still open, and don't forget, where there's no vision, the people perish. Great movements have always started with a great vision. Always. So he sees this vision of this man. The man is crying out to come help us, to come help us. This morning, in just a few moments, the few moments that I have, what I want to do is, and we'll finish tonight. And of course, tonight is Commitment Sunday. And tonight we're going to have a business meeting. And a missions conference really is a business meeting where we, the people of God, the church of God, determine the fate, the eternal fate of a lost and dying world. Yeah. Tonight we will vote yay or nay by how much we choose to give. And there will be other decisions, but tonight's really about giving. But this morning I want to talk just for a few moments about the vision. My brother and I were in Bible college together. We were both division leaders. He was a division leader in North Chicago. I was in the suburbs. My wife and I had just got married. We hadn't been married very long. My brother decided that'd be a good excuse to get out of the dorm. Somebody say amen. He moved in with us. It wasn't long after he moved with us. I don't remember the time frame, but my brother had a bus route that had a lot of Puerto Rican children on it, and he was in North Chicago. And all of a sudden, in the late 70s to early 80s, there was this just a lot of Cambodian refugees were coming from Cambodia all over America, but specifically some pockets, and one of them was in Chicago. My brother started seeing all these Asian children on his bus ride. At that time, my brother and I were like so many Caucasians, we thought all Asians were Chinese. Somebody say amen. I mean, if they were Asian, they were Chinese. Just like you Asians, you think all of us white people look the same. Amen. But we didn't know. But I remember my brother and I talking, and my brother said that, hey, there's a bunch of Asians. And if I remember correctly, he said they're Cambodians. I said, what in the world is a Cambodian? I had never heard of a Cambodian. What is that, you know? And all I knew was Chinese. I think I knew Korean too. But I said, really, what is a Cambodian? And my brother, I said, you ought to start a bus route. I was always starting new bus routes. My brother was the type of guy who stayed in one place for a long time. But I said, he said, I'm thinking about starting a bus route where I could just reach these Asians and that type of thing. And make a long story short, he eventually started a bus route. He really fell in love with the Cambodian people. I can remember he'd be in the basement and he was trying to learn the language and he was playing the tapes back in the days when you had tapes, amen? And I could listen to him in the basement. We stuck him in the basement. Somebody say amen. But I can remember in the basement, I'd hear the Cambodian language. I said, man, that's got to be hard. Somebody say amen. By the way, it is very hard. I'm struggling with the Lao language. Somebody say amen. But anyway, but he was learning the language. And I remember at that time, my brother had his desire to go to the mission field. And my brother's desire was to go to Cambodia. At that time, of course, Cambodia was run by the communist regime, Pol Pot and so on. And it was a closed country. At that time, independent Baptists, we thought if it was closed, that God couldn't open the door. God can open any door. Somebody say amen. And so my brother, to make a long story short, my brother found out, what a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. My brother found out that more Cambodian people lived in the city of Long Beach, the city that we grew up in, than anywhere else in the world other than Thailand and Cambodia. So my brother came here, by the way, against the counsel of a lot of people. A lot of people thought he was sort of nuts what he was doing. My brother came here, and he started what was then Cambodian Baptist Church. And many of you were saved during those days, and you remember, we don't have time to talk about it. We could laugh all day, amen? But we don't have time to talk about it, Anaheim Raymond, the Friends Church, and that type of thing. And my brother was reaching the Cambodian people. Eventually, it became Pacific Baptist Church. And for many, many years, that's where it was. It was reaching the Cambodians. It was reaching the 40,000 Cambodian people here in the city of Long Beach. And then, of course, we became ethnically diverse, and you look around today. A few years ago, five, 6 years ago, I don't remember what it was. It was really triggered by Dave Board going to Cambodia. And I remember when Dave Board got called to go to the mission field to Cambodia. To be honest with you, most of the people on staff and everything just sort of thought he was a little bit nuts to leave here and that type of thing. But Dave Board went to Cambodia, and that sort of triggered something. And the next thing you knew, we were starting Team Cambodia. And you remember, those of you who've been around for a while, Team Cambodia. And we were going to send a missions team to Cambodia. And next thing you knew, then it expanded from Team Cambodia to Team Southeast Asia. And we were going to send a team to Thailand. Of course, we have a team in Thailand today. And then one day, and we don't have time to go into all the details. One day, we found out about this communist country called Laos. And to our knowledge, we still sort of had that limited thinking. Don't ever limit God. Yeah. We thought communist country, closed country, you know, we can't get in. And one day, Kum Lee Tong, the of all people, Kum Lee Tong, they found a prayer card in some church of an independent Baptist guy who happened to be in Laos, and it was like a real shock to everybody. Kum Lee Tong, the, again, I'm just racing through all of this to make a point. Kum Lee Tong, the was on his way to Cambodia. 10 days before he left for Cambodia, he got and you have to know how my brother works. This is my brother, par for the course. 10 days before Kum Lee's flying for Cambodia, my brother calls him and said, I want you to consider going to Laos. Really? Somebody say amen. That is my brother, to the T. So he said, okay, and he ended up going on deputation a little bit longer, try to raise some money so we could get school started and so on. And of course, now I'm in Laos, and my wife's there. She told me not to come back home, but amen. She said she's having the time of her life, amen. Then over the last 6 months, maybe a year, and a lot of it started with the Monterey Park Church starting, and we found out all these Chinese people live over here. You know, we went there to start a Spanish church primarily, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, all these Chinese people, and you know the story, those of you members of the church here. And then all of a sudden, you know, then my brother gets this really big idea. He said, you know, it went from Cambodia and the Cambodians in Long Beach, 40,000 people, to Team Cambodia in Cambodia, to Team Southeast Asia with Thailand, and then Laos was added. And then all of a sudden, my brother started talking about China. By the way, this past Wednesday, my brother and I were supposed to have a real big meeting about China and the future. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Somebody say amen. So my brother, one day I get an email from my daughter Joy, and my daughter Joy says to me, hey, Dad, and I heard that you guys might be moving. I said, well, that's news to me. Par for the course. It's my brother. So I sent my brother an email. I said, hey, you want to fill us in? It's my brother. Anyway. So, of course, we mentioned this, I think, Sunday night, if I remember correctly. So this missions conference, my brother asked myself and Dave Moore to come up here about a month before the conference, and it just sort of shocked me. Now, Dave Board doesn't shock me. Dave's been on the field for a long time. Things are happening over there. Things are a little bit slower. I've only been out there for 7 months now. It's like, you know, really, I thought you guys were glad to get rid of me. That's what I heard you say from the pulpit. But anyway, and so I was sort of shocked, and a couple times, you know, when I'd email some, we're looking forward to it, and he kept saying, I know this is God. I know this is God. Then on Thursday night, 10 days ago, I was preaching here. My brother probably started having a stroke while I was preaching. That's almost a place for humor, but we'll leave it. But anyway, he started having a stroke, I think, right here. He goes to the house, and within an hour, he's rushed to the hospital. But some of the last words he says in the house is, China or bust. Now, don't let the dream die. Come on. Now, let me say something. There's a lot of things that we preachers, missionaries, pastors, there's a lot of dreams we have. It's our dreams. But the dream to reach the unreached people groups of the world is not our dream. That's God's dream. That's in black and white. You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of things that we preachers, we throw on you. Can I just say it's mingled with us? But there are some things that are in the black and white. That's God.
Yes,
sir. About a year and a half ago, I asked my brother, I was going to be at some missions conference. I don't remember which one. I was going to be at a missions conference a year and a half ago. And I asked my brother, I said, Pastor, let me ask you a question. Just sort of refresh my memory. What was it that compelled you to reach the Cambodian people in those early days? And because I was going to talk a little about Pacific Baptist Church, the history of the church, and so on. And my brother said this, they were a people who no man was caring for their soul. May I remind you that there is a world that is lost without Christ. And may I remind you this, 2 out of every 3 people in the world are Asian. The vast majority of them are lost without Christ, and a great majority of them have never heard the name of Christ one time. When I sent an email out recently, within the last couple days, just little lessons and thoughts that I'm having during this time, I got a reply from my nephew, Joseph. And Joseph said that Mary, pastor's wife, and the family got together, I think it was 2 days ago, and they got together. And by the way, when we go through something like this, this is a time where the Lord is drawing us to him. There's a clarifying of our purpose for life, our principles for living, our priorities in life. And this is always, we learn more in the valleys than we do on the mountaintop. Somebody say amen. And so they're getting together. I think they were San Pedro or something. They're getting together. They're talking, and they're just expressing what God's doing in their hearts and lives. And Mary said this, and I asked him, I said, would you mind if I shared this? He said, no, I don't think my mother would mind. Joseph said, my mom said, though it hurts bad, I'm willing to hurt for God to do something great. By the way, she is an amazing woman.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We maybe ought to let her come close missions conference. By the way, she's always been an amazing woman. She was my bus worker before she was his girlfriend. She's an amazing woman. So I take credit. Amen. Everything that she is today is because of me. I humbly admit it. No, that's why she left my bus route, to get away from me. But anyway, what a powerful statement. Though it hurts bad, I'm willing to hurt for God to do something great. Church family, can I just say this? There are no coincidences. It's missions conference, first day missions conference. Our pastor goes into a coma. Today's Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Really? Come on. Could you have picked a different day? Tonight we will take up our commitment cards and we will make, and some of us have made commitments throughout the week. May I just say, don't let the vision die. Then it's also the 25th anniversary, and I know that's the silver anniversary, and I just checked online. And I found these words, traditionally silver represents the celebration of the 25th anniversary and is related to graceful aging. Let us age gracefully. Then listen to these words, not inspired from the Word of God, but possibly a word for us even today. It opens new doors and lights the way to the future. Don't let the vision die. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to Brother Myers. The greatest way you can show your appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ and for our pastor today and just everything that's going on is that you commit yourself to the dream. This matter of the Great Commission, worldwide missions. Many can go, most will not. All can pray, all can give. Brother Myers.